Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And today's message, When Your Walk Takes a Detour. The Encouraging Word. I think they realized it was an aggravant and they took it off my particular GPS, but it used to say recalculating every time I would take a detour I wasn't supposed to. Today, Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor, is going to open God's Word together with us so that we can gain insight on what happens when we do take a detour. As we open the Word, know that we're available for you. Our phone lines are always open at 866-899-WORD. I know that's a little old school, but in this day and age, a conversation could be just what you need. Let us pray with you at 866-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, I want to speak to you today on an incredible subject. When your walk takes a detour, I believe that God's got something to say to us, and it's good news. In fact, I'm going to tell you that if you listen to what God says, the end is in sometimes even sweeter than the beginning. Well, we're going to look today at a very familiar passage. Open your Bibles with me to Luke and chapter 15. Luke's Gospel in chapter 15. Jesus told us a story, a parable, about two sons and their father. Listen to what he said. I'm in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and beginning at verse 11. Jesus said that there was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the land, so that the whole country suffered from the famine, and he personally began to be in need. Let me just pause there for a moment. What we're going to discover here, folks, is that when your walk takes a detour, there is a progressiveness that will take place. This man had no problem so long as he had plenty of money to buy everybody else drinks. He was popular as long as he foot the bill, as long as there was no problem catching a plane, as long as there was no problem about which motel to stay in, as long as he was not the center of popularity, as long as he was still continually able to finance all of these people who seemingly would gather around him because he had the money, as long as he was one of the boys, as long as he had all the girls hanging around him, he was okay. But progressively, he ran out of money. And things began to change. It's amazing how some people will hang around you when you've got something to give them, and how easy it is to stay on a detour as long as your boat is still sailing. But lose your boat and see what happens. Now look what happened here. Verse 15, so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, the son of my father, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. In fact, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. Wow, wow, woo, wow. Boy, I love this, don't you? Goodness me. When your walk takes a detour, I've got 10 points that I want to share with you, so I better get cracking. I want to share with you 10 striking things that will bless your heart. And parents, I want to say a word to you. I've got a real burden for parents today. I don't know why. I've just got a burden for our parents in America. Wonderful Christian parents. And you've done everything you can find. Your heart is broken today because your sons and your daughters are in the pig pens of life. Don't give up. We got some wonderful news to share. 10 significant things here that I'm just going to share with you from God's Word. Number one, he was part of the family. Oh, I love this one. Verse 1, Bible tells us about a father and his two sons. Here we have this family together. He was part and parcel of his father's household. When your walk takes a detour, for the believer, if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you are part of that family. And this man was part and parcel of this family. He was one of this father's sons. You are one of your father's daughters. He knows my name. Knows every tear that falls. I wish I could quote that song and I can't. But even when I stumble and fall, even when I take a detour, he's always there because he's my father. Now watch this, folks. This is unbelievable. It all started out in this family. How about you? Remember? Where did you grow up, by the way? Think about your family. Think about your heritage. I had a man come to me some months ago and he said to me, Pastor, he said, I'm back. I said, back from what? He said, I'm just back. I'm back with the Lord. I'm back here at church. I'm back in the family. I said, where have you been? He said, I took a detour. He said, I tell you what. He said, I just have never been able to get over the fact that my mama never stopped praying for me. Let me tell you something, folks. There's something about this issue here that he was part of this family. And by the way, it was a remarkable-looking family. I think we can deduce from this passage that his home was a pretty fair dinkum home, if you ask me. I don't know what he had, but he had all kinds of things. Probably had a swimming pool, I don't know. I can just see his room, can't you? iPod in one corner, a computer over here. Probably had 4 television sets to himself. I don't know, but the fact of the matter is that his father had an estate enough to be able to divide it up. This man was well cared for in his father's home. Kind of sounds like God, doesn't it? See, my father, of which I'm a part of his family, got quite an estate. In fact, he owns everything. I mean, the whole lot. He's in charge. In fact, he even tells me that what he doesn't have made available to me, if I need it, he'll supply all my needs. I mean, all of them. Even down to my anxieties, he takes care of my anxieties because I just give them back to my Heavenly Father and boom, like that, he gives me peace in my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. This man was part of the family. Number two, he made a personal decision. Now, if you look here in verse 12, the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. By the way, the operative word here is the word give me. He made a personal decision. And friends, what God was showing me here and which I share with you today is that every detour for every believer begins with a personal decision based upon personal need and want. Give me. I want. I no longer want to be in your house. I don't need your authority, Father. I don't need your bed to lie in. I don't need your pocket money. I don't need to drive your motor car. I don't need to be told what time to come home. I don't need the discipline of the church. I don't need anybody telling me this and what. Give to me. I want to be the center of my own universe. I want to paddle my own canoe. I'm quite capable of being sufficient in and of myself. I don't need God anymore. I remember a parent coming to me some time ago in our church, and both a husband and wife, and just wept and wept and wept. And this is what they kept saying to me. They kept saying to me, "Pastor, we don't understand that. We've given to our son everything you could possibly imagine. We've loved him and provided for him. I just don't get it. How could somebody walk away like that?" This man made a personal decision, and it was centered in himself. It was a rejection of the authority of his father's house and of the sanctity of his father's house. Number three, he left the confines of his home. Now, folks, this is a very important point here. The Bible says in verse 13 that not long after this, he gathered what was his and he took off, left the confines of his father's home, and he went to a far distant land. Can you imagine that? Boy, I love my home. Don't you just love your home? Let me tell you, you know what I did yesterday, folks? Man, I tell you, my wife and I decided yesterday was a beautiful day, and we just did stuff. Have you ever just done stuff? I mean, we did stuff, you know, picking up this and picking up that. I noticed my neighbors were doing stuff too. I mean, cleaning this and carrying that and doing this and doing that. I mean, just running around, going back, fetching, carrying, doing this, just stuff. I got to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, "Enough stuff. Give me the remote." My wife says she's got a detached retina. Do you know I can watch 6 ball games at the same time? I can do it. Man, I sat down there in my favorite chair. My wife went to Baskin Robbins because I sent her. I sat there, folks. I had double scoop of Baskin Robbins covered over in chocolate. I said, "I'm doing this. I don't mind what my doctor says, my dentist says, the candlestick maker says. I am having this. I've been doing stuff." I sat there in my chair. I mean, Baskin Robbins, remote control, great game of football, and a Diet Coke to make me feel better. I nearly came out of my chair when Clemson scored that touchdown. I'm telling you, I watched all of them, Florida and Tennessee, and kept my ears on what the Gamecocks were doing, and Wofford Terriers, and I mean the whole nine. I just sat there. I'm telling you, I love my home. I love to go home, sit on my deck and have a good cup of tea, kick the dog, walk around, mess in the yard, pack and unpack. Don't you just love your home, folks? Is there anything more wonderful than your own bed? You know, when you've been on a trip where you're away somewhere and you come home, you've got your own bed. You just love your home, just being around all the activities. I love Thanksgiving because all the family comes and all the things that go on. Just think about this, folks. This man left the confines of his home. Wow.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and we'll be back with the rest of today's message when your walk takes a detour in just a moment. But I pray that you wouldn't check out, don't go away, because in these few moments as we open the Word together, we also want you to know that our phone line is open. And now more than ever, as we are a little more separated and disconnected, perhaps one of our team members praying with and for you about what you're going through right now would be just what we could do to encourage you. We are the Encouraging Word. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. Let us be part of your cell phone. Soar us in as a contact. 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
By the way, my home is not perfect. I don't know that I've ever met a home or been in a home or been associated with a home that within the context of that home there is both joy and sorrow, pain and heartache. That's why we're a family together. Still my home. Tell you, I love it when my sons come home. Let me tell you about my boys. My boys have grown up. They're out the home, folks. They're off the payroll. Well, they come home a couple of weeks ago. My two sons, my daughter-in-law, here's dad. Big deal, big talk. Man, I spend the whole week. Boys, do you need something? When they get ready to go back, listen, man, How about a couple of hundred here? I tell you what, listen, man, take, you want my jacket? You can have, can I buy you something? How, it's on me, everything's on me. Don't worry about a thing. Can I write a check for you? What can I do for you? Let me ask you something, folks. Does a father, a mother ever stop being a father and a mother? You think our Heavenly Father signed off on you? So you've left home, have you? He left the confines of his home. Number four, he squandered his assets. Now, folks, it was one thing to leave, but it's another thing to squander. The Bible says right there in verse 13, there he squandered his wealth in wild living. By the way, do you know what that word squander means? It means to just throw it away. Like in my pocket here, if I've got a little tissue paper or something, and everything that I have is right there. It's like he just took what he had, he just threw it away, just threw it to the wind. Here was his father, provided for his every need in a major way, made a personal decision, left the confines of his home, and he squandered his assets. Heartbreaking. It's like our Heavenly Father welcomes us into the family of God and forgives us for our sin and expresses his love to us. And just one day we make a personal decision. God, I don't want to be around you anymore. I'm tired of all this. We just get up and we just leave the confines of our Heavenly Father's home. And we go out and squander the assets that he's given to us. We just throw it away. But I want you to note here in the fifth place that he took desperate measures. Desperate measures, folks. Bible says that progressively one thing took place after another, leaving him with nothing. And in desperation, he went and he asked a man in a foreign land. Can you imagine that? Please, would you just hire me? And the man sent him to work with his pigs. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I identify with working with pigs. Now, that may surprise some of you. When I was at university in Africa, I got a job working on a massive pig farm in the Cape Lands of southern Africa, right on the point of Africa, a place called Franschhoek, translated means French corner. Massive mountains and unparalleled beauty. And I got this job working for this farmer, and I was assigned to his pigs, me. In fact, I remember we just started dating. My wife, Karen, got into a motor car one time. She drove 500 miles to come and visit me, folks. Isn't that something? So good looking, she came all the way down there. And you know what I did when she came to see me? I told her that I would pick her up in the city of Cape Town. And I went in my pig truck, big old truck. And I went and picked up my girlfriend in Cape Town, a place called Claremont in Cape Town, where my parents lived. And I went to go and pick her up, and I took her on a date in my pig truck. I did. And we went to a place called Greenpoint, right there at Sea Point in Cape Town, South Africa. And we used to have these kind of drive-in places like Sonics, you know. And you drive up and you park your vehicle and some frou-frou little girl comes out there with a tray and she takes her order and she came out there and she had everything and she went all the way up. She got within about 200 feet of my truck. She stopped dead in her tracks and just dropped the tray right there. And she said, oh, what is that? Folks, I know what it's like to work with pigs. I've worked with large white sows. I'm talking about for months on end at the highest level. This man took such desperate measures. And in 1973 and 74, when I was working in pig pens to get through college and university, those pig pens were state of the art for 1973. I can't imagine what these pig fields would have looked like, do you? Here's what happens, friends, when you squander your assets. You're going to end up in the pig pen somewhere. This man took desperate measures. Number six, he experienced a desperate longing. Bible tells us in verse 16, he longed to fill his stomach. Some of you might say to me, Pastor, would you describe that longing? No, I cannot. But I can tell you this. That when you leave the Father's house, my friend, there will be an emptiness and a void that nobody else can fill excepting your Heavenly Father. And He wants you to come home. No, sir, sex will not fill that void. Getting married will not fill that void. Alcohol will not fill that void. A lake house will not fill that void. A new house will not fill that void. Money in the bank will not fill that void. There is nothing that will fill that void, that longing, when you've squandered what your father has given to you. When your walk takes a detour. When your walk takes a detour. He experienced a desperate longing. But number seven, he came to his senses. I love verse 17. The Bible tells us these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, simply stated, he came to his senses. By the way, I believe that that is a spiritual moment. You and I know about that. It's one of those aha moments. You find yourself sitting in church and all of a sudden, the nerve center is touched in your heart. All of a sudden, you know it's not the second verse, which is same as the first. It's not your capacity to quote scripture or to sing a song. It's not about what you're going to gain or what you're going to lose. All of a sudden, God gets a hold of your heart and all of a sudden you began to come to your senses. Nothing's going to happen if you don't come to that point. He came to his senses. But note number eight, that as he came to his senses, he remembered the warmth of his home. Isn't that an amazing thing? Evidently, while he had plenty to squander, the warmth of his home was not an issue. Someone said to me one time that it's necessary for someone to hit rock bottom for God to get their attention. Now, that's true. But you don't have to hit rock bottom. Don't let God allow you to hit rock bottom. I've met so many people who have said to me, Pastor, I had to hit rock bottom before I came to my senses. You don't have to hit rock bottom. Just listen to what God's saying. Don't go through the floorboards right now. Don't become one of the parades. Don't be one of those washed out people standing on street sidewalks begging for a little bitty drop of water to cool your tongue. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because your father's house is your house. You are part of his family. Come back home. Come back home. Come back home. He remembered the warmth of his home. But number nine, he took decisive action. He took decisive action. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, so he got up and he went to his father. You know, that is an amazing verse, that, with an amazing implication in our hearts and lives, is it not? So I'm about to make a statement to you. Here it is. You can come to your senses until you're blue in the face, but unless you take decisive action, you'll never get out of the pig pen. My beloved friends, please listen. Don't listen to this pastor. Listen to what God is saying to you. My precious friends, whoever you are today, I love you so much. Listen carefully. There are many of you today. You know where you are and you know what's wrong and you know what you've done. And you've come to your senses. But you haven't taken decisive action. You can decide to give up smoking until you're blue in the face, but until you give it up, you'll continue to smoke. Let me tell you, folks, I have met many a person who has come to speak to me and has wept and we've prayed together and they've said, Pastor, please pray for me. I know that I'm in the wrong place. I know that I'm with the wrong people and I know that I've made the wrong decision and I'm desperate and I've got a void in my life and I know what I need to do, but they won't get up and do it. That's decisive action. You can come to your senses until you're blue in the face, but until you take decisive action, you're not going to get out of the pig pen. I'm so grateful for groups like Alcoholics Anonymous. And there are so many wonderful organizations, folks, et cetera, et cetera. And I encourage you with all of my heart, and I'm not reducing this to alcoholism or anything of that nature. What I am, I'm saying to you this, my friend, if you have taken the assets that God has given to you and you've walked out of your father's house, and you have squandered that which God has given to you, I want you to see a picture of the warmth of your father's household. And as you come to your senses, I want you to take decisive action, which leads to point number 10. I love this. He came back home. He came back home. Boy, I love that, don't you? He came back home. home. That's what it's all about. I tell you, it's like when you've been on a trip or you've been working all day or you've gone out, you're doing whatever it is, and you come back and that door opens and you walk into a house, man, you just take off your shoes, you get into that favorite chair, you sit down and have a nice warm meal, and you're back home again. That's the picture that God wants us to see when we come back home. He doesn't relegate us to the second seat in the house. He puts us back in the prime seat. He doesn't say, okay, sit at the back of the class. He said, no, you sit right here in the front. He doesn't say, listen, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shove you back there, and every now and again, I'll send you a plate of food. He says, no. He says, I'm going to give you the very best. Get out the barbecue. Kill the fatted calf. For my son, my daughter, has come back home again. You see, friend, when your walk takes a detour, if you hear what God is saying, you get back on track again. You'll get back on the right road. You got to do something about it.
You've been listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and this message is such a powerful challenge to make a change. We are at a point where we're at a crossroads, and if you'll please open your heart to what Dr. Don's going to share next, I believe you'll see it's a powerful opportunity for you and me both to change our lives forever.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
Welcome. I know some of you have given your life to Jesus Christ for the first time, and some of you, like I did many years ago, you've come back to Christ. I pray that you would let us take you in the next steps, pray you through. Give us a call, 866-899-WORD is our phone number. We'd love to put some resources in your hands, or you can visit us online at tewonline.org. And while you're there, I pray you'll discover who we are and if God's leading you, how you can support us prayerfully and financially as we reach people with the love of Christ in the encouraging word every single day.
Have you been praying about how you can make a difference in the world? We would love to have you join us by becoming an Encourager Ministry Partner. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an Encourager brochure today. There is no greater gift that you can give than to help spread the gospel. Together, we can do much to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Make a commitment to help spread the gospel in 2020. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Time's gone for today, but tomorrow, oh my goodness, we begin a two-part series on when your suffering makes sense. I know that seems hard to believe, but it's a powerful message from God's Word, and we'll discover it together tomorrow on The Encouraging Word.